Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Top of the morning to you on this unbelievable Throwback Thursday. That's right. It is Thursday. I call it Virtual Friday. We're so excited to have you join us on a day that we never seen before. Sports Shop Reese and K-Mac getting it in like we always do. Sports Shop Reese and K-Mac. Pam Thompson-Smith, the firm, is joining us today, rocking with us as usual. Good morning. Got MCZ back in the chair the ones and twos. Oh, man. You know how we do it. Sports Shop. Woo! Let's go. I found the love. What all of? Where you at?
Sing it.
You better sing that song, girl.
Yeah.
Cheesy. What up, what all? Where you at? Come on with it. There it is.
KD.
Yeah.
Yeah. K-Mac, you bring in the alto part.
I'm trying to tell you. You know what's really interesting about this song? It talks about Los Angeles. This is a big weekend in Los Angeles. They got a football game tonight too as well. But last night, you may want to record this. This is our second version of talking about baseball. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I mean, imagine that. It is amazing. If people say we don't talk about baseball. There you go. And it's not even the World Series we're talking about. But boy, was it a game last night. It's kind of like the World Series. I'm talking about it was do or die, winner take all, one game, all bets on the table. And it was the National League wild card game. And the L.A. Dodgers, prevailed. But let me give a little backdrop. With the score tied 1-1, Chris Taylor of the L.A. Dodgers hits a walk-off two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth to send the Dodgers to the National League Division Series. And it went like this.
Reyes fires. Swing and a drive. Left field. On its way. Gone. Chris Taylor walks it off. He sprints around the bases, and the Dodgers are heading to the division series. Chris Taylor wins it in the bottom of the ninth.
So what's the equivalent to this? I mean, I was thinking about this earlier. Walk-off home run is the best, outside of a no-hitter, a perfect game, it's the best thing you ever seen in baseball. You don't see it that often. Right. But I was trying to think, what's equivalent? Is this like a Hail Mary pass to win a game in football?
Hail Mary, or game-winning field goal from 50-plus yards.
What about a half-court shot? Like a half-court shot in basketball would probably be, because if you take it like a 15-footer to win at the end, that's really not a big deal. But a half-court shot or to win it at the buzzer, is that equivalent to a walk-off home run? You think?
Yeah. Close to
like
it.
A late,
or maybe maybe just like a late, just maybe like a late game shot, like
any buzzer beating shot.
Yeah,
like you think so?
What's the guy that made that shot for Villanova that year?
Chris Jenkins.
K-Mac, you better be damn glad we're not together. Though I set myself up for that one. But you know what though? How about Gordon Hayward, the hell one from half court that should have won the damn basket to beat Duke? How about that one?
Yeah. Gives it to Jenkins.
Michael, really, Michael?
Boom. There you go.
Boom.
That's why I hate Michael Sheldon sometimes when he comes in the show. He finds sound bites that nobody else finds.
The Dodgers and the Giants will meet in the National League Division Series,
Michael.
First time ever in the playoffs. Do you know the Giants had 107 wins in the regular season while the Dodgers had 106?
Now, that would be jacked up. You win 106 games and you don't make it to the playoffs. Like, you don't make it to the
series.
You got to
play in the wild card game.
Yes.
One game, winner take all, against a red-hot Cardinals team.
I think Atlanta had like 70 wins, and they're in the series.
88.
Okay. 88, 7
same thing. They have the benefit of playing in the National League East.
Yeah.
Oh. Kind of like playing in the
Yeah. It was. Ooh. Oh, wow. It was unbelievable. Walk-off's always good. Chris Taylor was the hero of the night. Let's hear from Chris Taylor. The Dodgers talked about his walk-off home run.
You know, I know obviously it was a little different not starting the game. You know, I was just trying to stay ready off the bench. I mean, there's a really good chance I was going to come in at some point, just the way we operate. And, you know, I was trying to be ready when my number was called. And, you know, these are the type of moments that you dream about and you live for. And, you know, I'll be able to look back on this for the rest of my life. And I'm just fortunate that I was able to come through in that spot.
Okay. Really? It was exciting, man. I literally fell asleep on the game because I think I was watching it up to the bottom of the eighth, and I couldn't hang any longer. I woke up this morning.
Best part.
I know. I was like, wow, man. It was incredible. You always like it, but again, I'm trying to figure out what's equivalent. Like James Ross just said, Damian Lillard jump shot at the buzzer, like he shoot his like half court. That's equivalent. You think so?
Yeah.
But hey. We talking baseball, and like it's gonna be where the best of five series are starting for the Giants and the Dodgers, and that starts when Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yes.
Okay. The American League is starting tonight. The best of five. You got the Chicago White Sox at Houston, and Houston is back in it after they cheated, you know, to win it a couple of years ago. They're back in it, but I know. But you know. I think they're back in legitimate now, but Houston Astros manager Dusty Baker, who's been managing forever, played forever, he talked about chasing his first World Series title as a manager. Let's take a listen.
I don't get anxious too much. I got the same level of emotion and everything like I do and all the rest of them. You keep knocking on the door, man. If you don't knock on the door, you don't have a chance. And the way I look at it, Thomas Edison, I mean, he tried 1,000 times before he discovered the light bulb and electricity. So look at Bobby Cox. You know, how many division titles did he have? Like 15 or 16? I ain't even close to that. The way I look at it, it's going to happen. The Lord wants me to have it. And if it doesn't, it's still been right. It's still been good. But that don't mean that, you know, I really feel inside. I need it and I got to have it.
I need it, I got to have it.
Got to have it.
I can envision that young man now dropping that mic and pimping off.
Dusty Baker against Tony La Russa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, long time rivals.
Oh, Tony La Russa was back in there.
Yeah, with the White Sox.
Yeah.
I thought he had got in trouble, Baker. But, you know.
Yeah.
He was talking about Thomas Edison. You know that, it reminded me, you know that it took the Kentucky Fried Chicken people 1,400 tries to get their recipe right?
Hell, I know.
Yeah, that's
I
a good fun was, fact.
That's how you normally drop on
potato salad.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Reed,
well, excuse me.
I know some people still trying to get that damn potato salad right. I can tell you.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Now.
I know. Especially when they bring it outside.
And they need to just go ahead and tap out.
Especially when they put raisins. Especially when they put raisins in them. But you know, I don't know who does that. Anyway, that's another topic, another day, another time.
All right. Hey, Boston. Mike and Carrie to call you.
I know. But matter of fact, we haven't heard from Mike in a week. Is
they're
he?
Making him work.
I mean, I know Clemson's not having a good year, but damn. Where is he? maybe he'll call today because his Pam's on. He calls him and Pam's on.
Hey, look, don't worry. We have room on that missing person billboard because I finally took Pringley down. I can put Mike
up. Mike Pringley. We heard from Pringley the Virginia Tech game.
That chugger there, he was missing person report for real.
Oh, man. But hey, tonight, man, check it out. We have preseason basketball that they play tonight. We have the Rams and the Seahawks, they play tonight. And we got Boston Red Sox playing Tampa Bay in baseball. And that's an 8:07. And by the way, I think if you're part of the Capital Broadcasting team, you may have, or in Durham, you may have a reason to pull for the Tampa Bay Rays. They are loaded with former Durham Bulls, including Wanda Franco, the shortstop who started the year in Durham as a top prospect in the minor league. So, let me get this right. You started in Durham. Now you're playing for the Tampa Bay Rays in a big-time game. He was called up midseason and tied the NLB record, shared with Hall of Famer Frank Robinson, with 43 straight games reaching the base, the most by someone under age 21. Wow.
Wow.
That's big. Second baseman Brandon Lowe, who led the Rays with 39 runs, is another former Bull. I just remind people that the Durham Bulls is the Triple A team for the Tampa Bay Rays. Left fielder Austin Meadows, who led the team with 106 RBIs, and center fielder Kevin Kiermaier is Kiermaier. Thank you, Kiermaier. He played for the Durham Bulls too.
Yes,
Michael.
Absolutely.
But damn, the whole team played for him. I mean, everybody.
Yep. Not to mention the pitching staff. You got Ryan Yarbrough, Andrew Kittredge, Pete Fairbanks, and Josh Fleming, as well as a couple Olympic silver medalists. Shane Baz and David Robertson with Team USA.
So, Pam, I'm telling you, your friends, you know, them singing women out there, what y'all need to do is start going to Durham Bulls baseball game. Because what happened was, they come up. When they come up, they really come up. So, yeah,
know,
you start,
right?
you catch them when they're in the minor leagues. Then when they move on to the major leagues, you should be straight there, Pam.
It didn't work for me. I used to be at every game. So I gotta do something right.
Never mind. See, you about to get me started.
It's
too late in the week for me to get started.
Bull games. Not with that in mind, though. I was
sure.
See Bull Durham?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
I have a picture with him.
Oh, okay.
Well, Kevin Costner.
Yeah. That's good stuff. But you guys what? No, I called him out, and guess what? He's on hold. Let's go to Michael Carey right quick. Michael, good morning. I was just trying to figure out. What's up, Michael? How you doing?
Because Pam here. That's the only reason you called.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Pam? You know, Pam was describing my approach in high school dating. That's why I dated all those ninth graders and 10th graders when I was a senior.
Okay.
Get up for that rookie minimum contract.
There you go.
There you go, Mike. You got to have goals.
But listen, you know, I heard your comment about me not calling in. You know, I was trying to kind of work on, you know, the self. You know, I was trying to work on, you know, the biggest part of me. So my wife and I, because you know Pam has been, you know, hit and miss, you know, sometimes. I was working on us. So my wife and I signed up for this couples retreat led by Urban Meyer and his wife. You know, and I knew you jackals. You jackals with the long knives would be after him. You know, I saw the video, and listen, he's a player's coach. What's wrong with a coach rubbing up against his quarterback? There's nothing wrong with that.
Michael, they wasn't his quarterback.
Yeah.
That wasn't Trevor?
No, that wasn't Trevor, no. Oh. I know, her hair was, Michael, that's good, Michael. Her hair was the same length, but it wasn't Trevor, though.
I thought it was just some kind of new kind of coaching technique, getting in touch with the players, you know.
Like literally.
Dancing in the locker room. Oh, that shit. That changes it. It really is all about context, isn't it?
It really is.
He got in touch with the inner player. That's the player he got in touch with.
Yeah, really.
But you know, K-Mac called it. I'm gonna give him that. He called.
He called what? What did K-Mac call?
He called with the Urban Meyer thing. He called that. But see, I think he had what we call inside information. given his history of past their sell-by date coaches. Milking the Redskins for one last go, mailing it in. Let me see. Joe Gibbs, part two. Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Steve Spurrier. Came back and knows one when he sees it. He knows when he's been fleeced. He's about to get fleeced.
In
Jacksonville, that one, that's just not going to be a good situation, is it?
No, but we caught you. Everybody said that we went down there and said, why is he doing it? horrible. And Michael, we were talking about yesterday. I don't think he really wants to coach. I really don't. I think he was forced because maybe the money.
The same thing with Joe Gibb when he came back a second time. He just needed a little extra cash influx for the racing team. Got all his kids' jobs on the staff.
Yep.
You know, these guys, they don't want to. They're done. They're past. At least Bill Cowher. I'll give Bill Cowher credit. He walked away.
He did.
Stayed away.
He did. He did. He did.
It's hard to do that, isn't it?
Right.
It's hard to do it.
Yeah. It's hard to walk away now. Hard to walk away.
And
Michael, did you walk away?
You know, I tried, but
famous
but
what words,
I was walking
Michael,
away too
words.
Wasn't there. You got to go for consistency. Young
wow.
You got to go for the reliable. In the long run, that's going to take care of it. But you know,
Mike, what are you saying? Just Tuesdays and Thursdays is not good enough for you?
No, it's not. Look, I kicked Coach Ford to the curb. He only gave you Wednesdays and Friday.
You sure did, Michael.
Look, I'm coming back on Friday. I'm giving you another day.
That's right. She's going to come back tomorrow. So
it can't be 3 days. I'm not going to win with him. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Won't do it.
But I want to say one more thing. I heard y'all talking about that Duke player.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm.
Paolo Bacero. Yeah.
That's right. And let me say.
Yeah.
In the name of Franco Harris.
Yeah.
That boy's got something special.
Yeah, he does. I told him, Michael. I hate to say it, being a Carolina fan, but he's special.
I hate to hear it.
But you don't know why. You don't know the real reason. That boy's got the blood of the Caesars coursing through his veins.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He sure does. Ernie DiGregorio. Mark Ivoroni, the long line of great Italian-Americans.
Okay, Michael, okay. Okay, Dan is right there. Okay, Michael, we got it.
Part two. You know, that's right. Call D-Stroke. He'll tell you.
Call D-Stroke. Bye, Michael.
All right, we'll see y'all. Take care. Bye, Pam. Remember,
bye, Michael.
I need full-time.
You need 5 days? Okay, full-time. Okay.
If you want benefits, it's got to be 5 days a week. Full-time.
Really?
Give me options.
Mike said no part-timers here, baby.
I see you, Mike.
That's right.
Dog on Michael. Bye-bye.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
It's Throwback Thursday. I'm DR Reese. That's K-Mac. Pound Tutson Smith. Rocking with us. Michael Shelton, producer of the show.
Forever your girl, Pam Thomas.
Forever your girl. This is an interesting song.
There you go.
You can join the conversation at 919-890-6200. Hit us up on Twitter and IG at The Sports Shop 1 because we never, ever, number 2. Oh, man, we are getting in. As you can tell, we are already on 10 on this show this morning. Michael, so what's the name of this song and why are we playing this song in particular? I'm curious.
This is Forever Your Girl by Paula Abdul.
It
is, of course, also the title of her number one album that went to number one on this date back in 1989.
89?
Yes, yep, Abdul spent 64 consecutive weeks on the Billboard 200 before hitting number one, making it the longest time for an album to reach the number one spot. So this morning, we're throwing it all the way back to the year 1989.
Wow. Paula Abdul. All right. Come on, Paula.
Yeah. Just remember.
I don't remember this song. I thought the one that was a hit was other song.
She had a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Straight Up, Opposites Attract, Cold Hearted Snake.
Yeah.
Don't forget Rush.
Oh, yeah, Opposite Track. I remember that one, yeah.
With MC Scat Cat, the cartoon.
What about that one? Straight up something.
Yeah, Straight Up, Now Tell Me.
Yeah, yeah. What song is that? Is that Opposite? That's not Opposite Track, is it? I can't remember. But anyway. Pam, you heard these songs before? These songs?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. K-Mac, have you?
That's when she was graduating.
My
college,
theme song,
right?
Forever Your Girl.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's the year you graduated college, right? Isn't that right?
1989? No.
Pam, you have to watch him. Watch him. Anyway, there you go. That's my song right there.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't this song in a movie?
I can't remember. But keep that going, cuz
you're lost in the dream. That's what she said.
Hey, man.
Mike's lost in the dream.
I know. Yesterday, The Carolina Panthers made a big splash by trading with the Patriots for a Pro Bowl cornerback. And I think he was 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. Stephon Gilmore, who's from Rock Hill, South Carolina. We called that one yesterday, by the way.
Wait a minute.
Gilmore is, what's that?
Are you serious, Reese?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Can we say we were right?
Yeah, hashtag, no, we always right.
Always
put it
right.
Down.
Hey, now hashtags, we always right, and especially Reese. That's a new tag. That's right. But we did mention that. Because in the middle of the show, I say, you know, this guy from Rock Hill, right next to Charlotte, obviously. Mm-hmm. And hell, about an hour later, he was playing for the Panthers. They traded him. They traded a 2023 sixth round draft pick. Really? That's all the Panthers had to give up. Hell, do you know who's a sixth round draft pick for any team? Nobody knows that.
Wasn't Tom Brady a sixth round pick?
Oh well.
Your boy.
Yep, there it is right there.
Taylor Heineke.
Taylor Heineke. Yeah, I think he's a 10th round pick. They don't have the 7 rounds, K-Mac. But anyway, keep that going. So that's Matt Rhule talking about head coach for the Panthers, talking about the trade for Stephon Gilmore.
Anytime you can get an all-pro player for a future six, I mean, we're going to do it, right? I mean, you know, we played the last game, you know, half the time we're in dime, you know, chins dropping down, you know. So I just think, you know, for us, we really like CJ. I think he's going to be a really good player. We really like AJ. We really like Dante. But we're, you know, if we have to play with 3 or 4 corners every snap as we face some of these teams we're going to. So, you know, I just think as many good players as we can bring around here and tremendous professionals, you know, we're going to do it. And this was just, you know, one of those things that's too good to pass up. I mean, he's too good of a player. He's from here. I think when you find out about who he is football character-wise as well, I mean, it just adds to the core of what we are.
Mm-hmm. People need to start calling us and asking us what we think.
I don't know why they don't.
No, I just don't know. I'm not sure, K-Mac, why they don't do that.
I don't know. I don't know why they don't. Oh, because we ain't going to say it nicely?
Maybe so.
That has something to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah. By the fact, who was that? That's Friday. Who was the guy who came on
Michael
the
comedian? Winslow. Good night.
And he asked us to play some sound bites. Michael played that one. He was kind of impressed with that one.
The Hero Group. I still have no idea why I was doing it. Oh,
what was that, game, man? What was that?
Your Wofford Terriers, the one to be whooping
your
ass out there.
The Hero Group. Okay, whatever.
Other news. Those sounds.
There you go. There you go. No, that's okay. I think we got one is enough for that one, Pam. Trust me.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think we're good. Other news out of Panther camp, the good Christian, we call him Christian McCaffrey, also returned to practice field yesterday on a limited basis. Matt Rhule says he will be a game-time decision against the Eagles on Sunday. So, we were expecting to be out by 3 weeks. He came back a little sooner than we thought, Mac, on this one.
Yeah. I hope it's not too soon, though. Seriously, I'm a little concerned about that. Hopefully it's not too soon. There's no need to rush back. You know, you still got Sam Darnold. You good.
Not throwing no shade, by the way. Another guy we didn't hear from is James Raleigh. I think they could beat the Eagles without Christian. I think they can get him. I think that game's at home, too, if I'm not mistaken. It's in Charlotte.
Yes.
So that is right there.
What's the problem
so
with the Eagles, by the way? That's a lot of talent on that team. What's the problem with the Eagles?
I hate to say it, man. I'm not.
Yeah. Okay, don't do it.
You set it up. Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it. You almost made me do it, kid, man. Please don't make me do it, kid.
I'm not gonna make you say it.
But the elephant in the room.
She can say it. I'll just pay her. You want to say it, pal?
Hey, you know people. Hey, the thing is, you know how people be in the room, sitting around the room. Everybody know what's going on, but nobody really don't want to really say it. This is a case where Jalen Hurts is I'm not sure he's the answer, K-Mac. And we lost him, Jalen.
He's got Devontae Smith.
I know, but Devontae, he got to throw the ball to him. He got to get it to him. Devontae, I mean, hell, Really? I just don't think. Just my opinion, Mac. I don't feel good about that. We love Jalen.
They say the same thing about Teddy Bridgewater, but look, he got a new situation.
Well, tell him to go to another team then. Okay, maybe he's not the best guy at the Eagles. Because, sorry, it's just not working.
So sometimes good people are just in the wrong situations, why they can't be great. That's what you're
right, Pam?
That's it. Good people.
I mean, the Eagles are.
You find yourself stuck in the wrong situation.
My Pam got to say the wrong situation.
Yeah. Go ahead. What you saying, Michael?
My apologies, Pam. The Eagles are reportedly being linked to Jalen Smith, who was released by the Cowboys yesterday.
Yeah, that's another guy.
The former Pro Bowl linebacker, Jalen Smith.
Which is good. Everybody was surprised the Cowboys let him go. But let me pivot real quick before we get to the break. I do want to talk about something that we need to bring some attention to. The NC Courage, which is our local women's soccer team, joined other teams across the NWSL in observing a moment of silence during the 6 minute of matches last night in support of solidarity for women against sexual abuse. Was it a particular time they did this, Michael?
Yes, during the sixth minute of their match.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So, and I've been seeing video on it. In the 6 minute of Wednesday's game between NC Courage versus Louisville, players from both teams paused the game and huddled in the circle as a sign of solidarity. Players stood around the circle, arms around each other at midfield in solidarity in a measure that extended across the entire league to show solidarity towards what's been going on in the league. A lot of people, the former coach who was fired?
Paul Riley.
They've known about this for 6 years. By him doing stupid stuff with some of the players, and they just totally ignored it. So as a sign of solidarity and really bringing that to highlighting and daylight what went on, they did this particular, protest, if you will, or just a symbol of solidarity. And I think it's a great thing they did, guys. What do you guys think?
I think it was a great thing too. I mean, I think we could probably have a whole show on why.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They tend to let it just go on against women.
Hmm. And this is across the entire league.
Right.
Yep.
You know, the Portland Thorns, their former employer, they weren't totally transparent on why they fired him before he came. Yeah. He was hired by Western New York, which eventually became the North Carolina Courage.
Right. Mm. That's the part I had a problem with because initially I assumed that the Courage understood why he was fired from Portland. He knew, and then later finding out that they really didn't disclose that, and he kind of snuck in and got the job before anybody figured it out. And it was just one of those things where. It was just bad all around, which I think the league really needs to take a hard look at that and say, okay, some things we just can't have happen.
That's right.
And a GM from another team resigned because of the same type of behavior. And I'm thinking, like, why do people feel like they can just do this and get away with it? I mean, as a father of two daughters, I mean, it makes no sense.
Because they are getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully things like this, bringing this to light, will probably prevent some of this stuff from going on. That's some people right now shaking their boots because they know they did some stuff. and they probably they're in the league, and they're probably next, unfortunately.
Yeah, the NWSLPA also released a list of demands yesterday.
What did they say, Michael?
There's about eight demands on this list, one of them including every coach, GM, representative, and owner voluntarily submit to the Players Association independent investigation into abusive conduct.
Hmm. Yeah, NWSL agreed to disclose all investigative reports referenced in statements that they listed earlier. So you gotta give them all information. You can't be holding stuff back if you know about it. Like K-Mac said, these people, they knew about it, but they just didn't share it with the North Carolina people, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, the NWSLPA also asked that representatives of the Players Association have an opportunity to meet with potential commissioner candidates and have a meaningful opportunity to be heard in the selection of the next NWSL commissioner.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Can't be passing around bad apples, man. You just can't be doing that.
And if you knew about it, you can't, yeah.
Yeah, because you remember former NWSL commissioner Lisa Baird resigned after this story broke.
That's who it was. Yeah, that's who resigned. There was a general manager, somebody resigned. And I wonder, why did she resign? Because of the allegations and, or not even allegations, some of the information that's coming forward now. That's why she stepped down, Michael?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there it is.
So there she it should.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
Destro. What's up?
Good morning.
Trouble.
Good morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Good morning.
I am doing well. I am doing well. I've got two things that are on my mind. One that I'm sure of, and the other has me a little bit perplexed. And uh-oh. So I'm going to start off with the thing that I'm a little confused about. Uh-huh. And so I know some of you have heard the quote, "Your silence is deafening." Well, yes. It can be applied to the status of many stars of sports teams when they retire and they're seeking some type of formal relationship with their former team or franchise. Uh-oh. And so I want to pivot to some good news about the Philadelphia 76ers, because you know the conversation has been going on with the Sixers. Whose fault is it? Is it the front office? Is it Ben Simmons? So I want to pivot to some good news. As in one of the greatest players who ever played for the franchise, Mr. Allen Iverson. And I think we can all name. In fact, I'll open up to you all. What are some of the things that you know about Allen Iverson? Tell us some of the things. What? The first things that come to mind about AI.
Practice?
Talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. No. One of the hardest players I ever seen play the game of basketball. Yeah, he went hard every night.
Description.
He just went hard every night. It seemed like every time he played, it was his last game ever playing, and it seemed he just played that way. He went hard on the court.
Yes. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
I love him. That was my first Georgetown.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he shooter? Culturally. Oh my. Yeah,
shooter,
I think culturally.
He, shooter. He's oh a yeah. Shooter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He once crossed over MJ too.
There you go. The crossover. Absolutely. Yeah.
The infamous step over.
Oh yeah. Step over. Okay. That's right. He did step over.
Yeah. But he is beloved in Philadelphia. And I'm hoping people will really do the research on the practice quote, because it was very clear that he was talking about other things that were going on in his life. He had just lost a close friend. I think it was a tragic loss. And he had some other things going on with his family. And when that reporter made that question him about that, he was referring to the things that were much more important than basketball that were going on with him. It had nothing to do with his commitment to the game, because we know he's one of the greatest, biggest heart players. But just quickly, definitely his connection with hip-hop movement.
Yes, culturally.
In fact, yeah. I don't know if people knew that Allen Iverson actually had an album called Misunderstood. It was never released because one of the songs, an uncensored version, actually got played on a Philadelphia radio station, and it had some controversial lyrics. And David Stern, the commissioner at the time, condemned the song. But there's no doubt wearing the baggy shorts, the headband, you know, that shooting sleeve that players wear, that really can be, go back to Allen Iverson. He was the one to popularize that. And many players, from Kobe to Carmelo and LeBron, even wear it now. Or have worn it, even though they have no problems with their shooting arms. an amazing athlete. And some of us have seen the footage of him on the football field.
Oh, yes.
Bethel High School in Virginia. He was the best player in the state in football and basketball. And it wasn't just quarterback. He played running back, kick returner, defensive back. As he mentioned about Georgetown, all-time leading scorer, and you're talking about a program that had Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Jeff Green. His dunks were nasty. I mean, he just didn't go up and kind of drop the ball in the rim. He dunked over some big, big players. His numbers, he was MVP, 11 All-Star selections, 2 All-Star MVPs, 3 times All-NBA first team. I mean, I can just go on and on, Rookie of the Year. And it wasn't just in the regular season, in the postseason. He still has the highest average of all time, which is nearly 30 points per game. For all the Tar Heel fans listening in, yes, he did cross over Michael Jordan before hitting a game-winning shot. He scored 50 points in a game against Cleveland. So anyway, I say all this to say is that AI represents a number of star players. Allen Iverson is not coaching the Sixers, and he wants to.
Really?
He spent 12 seasons in Philly. He's beloved. He's got his number 3 jersey retired into Wells Fargo Center. He goes to a lot of the games, and yet he's not giving a shot. And there is no doubt that I believe that he could help a lot of young players, and I think he could have helped Ben Simmons. And so here's my question. Whether the greats say it or not, why aren't they working for the school or the franchise? And I'm going to make this personal. And I know he would not like me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Phil Ford, not being employed at UNC. My dear friend, teammates at the same time, Ralph Sampson, not being employed at Virginia. I think these guys, they help build the program. They're the most recognizable athletes. Well, Phil and Ralph argued could be number one, but there are other greats at these schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense that you don't we owe them for what they did? I mean, when Ralph was being recruited, they painted the top of the arena at Virginia, Ralph's house, you know, which drew in so much fans, donors, money, and then great athletes after Ralph. And then, of course, we can always go to the equity mode. Look at, and I'm talking about college right now, but look at what these universities have done to brown and black people over the years. Everything from exclusion to, we can look at the data today and how universities, historically white universities, struggle with the belonging and recruitment and retention. Isn't there any sense of accountability or repayment? Mm. And then lastly, and arguably the most important, young people respect these greats. So I'm going to pause right there. I've got a list of other names, but these guys need a shot.
Dr. Strowman, I will say this when it comes to that. They do deserve a shot. They all deserve a shot, especially those, like you just said, built programs and teams and institutions that were built off of them. It's, I guess, one of the things that is often overlooked is – I don't know if they really value their voices, right? So I'm not sure that they value their voices. They appreciate what you could give me on the court. I appreciate what you can provide for me, but I don't really have much value or respect for you as a leader or as a man, which is why most of the time they don't get those shots, because they don't really value them outside of or off the court, or what they did, or what they could be off the court. So that's why they don't view them that way.
And yet, you know, I've been with Phil walking around arena, and Phil is one of the most loving and kind. I mean, whether it's somebody who's 2 years old, so I don't even know how that person would know Phil Ford. And then I've seen the senior citizens. They just rush to him. Please, will you sign this? Can you take a picture? So I hear you, K-Mac. But to think that they wouldn't value them, you know, when the fan base is just love these people.
You're talking about the fans of the institution.
I'm bringing it together. So I'm saying, oh, if well, the fan no,
well, the
base,
fans do, but
yeah,
but
right,
I'm talking
they
about
love them.
Way.
So if you want to take care of your fan base, right? So that's why we now have gourmet foods, you know, in arenas and stadiums, and why we have better seating, and why people get the option of being in the sun versus that. You're trying to take care of your fan base. And if your fan base loves these guys, why wouldn't the institution respect their voice?
Hmm. Wow. So, all right, let me chime in on this. This is an interesting one.
Guy, I mean, and I know it's not easy for you because you're close to Phil as well.
Yeah, so, and yeah, known for the last 30-plus years. But it's interesting conversation to have when I can look at it from your perspective, Dr. Stroman. And the question is, and maybe you should ask Phil and ask Ralph, do they want to be part of the university in that capacity? Because,
absolutely.
It's because from our vantage point, we're saying, hey, it makes a lot of sense. It just make like it's good. It's a good effort on both parties if they join together. But everybody have to be in sync and want to do that. Or what position or capacity would they be involved in? Would it just put them in the corner and say, hey, this is, you know, like a freak show or something that's Phil over there, that's Ralph over here, or will they be doing something that's productive for the university? You know, so that's part of the conversation you got to have. I know, to your point, walking around with Coach Ford, not only don't go to an ACC basketball game with him, because it's
right.
it's like God is showing. No, seriously.
Yes,
and it's like
true.
God is showing up.
Yes,
And K-Mac, that's fans, and that's administrators there, too, as well, who's at the game. Look at that, feel like he's good. And I look at him, I said, Phil, the older you get, the more popular you are. And he loves his university, just like Ralph loves Virginia. He would do anything. I know he's been voluntarily, you know, mm-hmm. just chiming in with Huber in the game. But let me just take a step back on one thing. I will say this. You mentioned Ralph and you mentioned Phil, but I mentioned this. I don't understand why Rashi Waters got to go to Memphis to get an assistant coaching job.
When he's
right here in our backyard, which is very capable. Everybody knows he's a very smart and talented from a coaching perspective and skill set. People talk about it all the time. I was over at Duke talking Amir Jefferson about Rashi. He said, man, Rashi taught me more about basketball. This is what he said that anybody else ever have. He's from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He's an assistant coach at Duke. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think Phil and Ralph, you have to ask them whether this is something they want to do. But I know for a fact, we look at Jerry Stackhouse, the opportunity to coach back here, and look at Rashid, the opportunity to have an assistant coach position. I think that was somewhat troubling to me. So that's
well,
my
you
two
brought up a number of points. There's a laundry list of them, and I know they would want to be asked, and I know they would want to be on the payroll. You know, okay. For the little contributions that I made to Virginia, when Virginia reaches out to me, it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most important human responses is to feel appreciated. Mm. And so here's your example. I was blessed to meet Floyd Little, one of the greatest ever in Syracuse, number 44. Uh-huh. May he rest in peace. He passed away in January. He was a special assistant to the AD. I met him at a women's basketball tournament, and he was just sharing his love for Syracuse and how the young ladies can speak to him about life's challenges. And his wife was involved as well. I think about Daryl Griffith, one of the greatest players at Louisville.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm.
now a special assistant to the president at Louisville, not even an athletic role. I don't know what Daryl does, but I know he's a blessing in Louisville. I think about mm-hmm. Dre Bly. So as much as we can look at Carolina, we look what Dre Bly has done for UNC football. Mm-hmm. And then I will point out and give props to Duke men's basketball. Coach K, I mean, talking about trying to give opportunities for his players to be on the bench. And I'm sure there's many of them who want to have a slot and they didn't get selected. But clearly something about Duke, they knew that the importance of having former players to connect with the current players and with the fan base, that matters. But I'm just,
Dr. Stroman, let me jump in right quick. I mentioned this last week when I went over for media day. It kind of threw me off a little bit. I see five coaches up there sitting next to get beside each other, and three of them are black.
Thank
out
you.
Of the five. I like that. That's we mentioned that on the show. That that brought that came to my attention. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So, yeah.
Well, what I am sure of is critical race theory. And hopefully the listening audience will check out my seminar, and I'll make sure I post it on the Facebook page.
Please do.
Critical race theory and looking at sports. And I've got some of the best and brightest minds speaking on it. But two particular tenets of critical race theory. One is around lifting up the voices of those who've been marginalized. And so we're going to talk about the athlete experience in college sport and what they're saying and what they're not saying. The other tenet that I want to list, that I want to speak about, and there are a number of tenets in critical race theory. One is called interest convergence. And the easiest example that I can give, and thank you, may he rest in peace and power, Derrick Bell, Harvard scholar, who was considered the father of critical race theory. He talked about how the United States needed to show to the world that indeed that our experiment with democracy was working, that we are all that we said we were going to be. But major countries like Russia and China were laughing at us. And this is during the civil rights period because we weren't treating brown and black people like full citizens. And so President Johnson signed the legislation, civil rights, passed the Civil Rights Act, all of that. So that's an example of interest conversion, as in when the dominant power, when those who have the power feel that something will help them, that's when they sign up. That's when they go for it. And so it made no sense for Lyndon Johnson to sign all these civil rights acts, these elite power brokers, but it made sense to them because they wanted to show to the world that, yes, we are doing the right thing by our brown and black citizens. That's interest convergence. Now, how do we apply it to sports? An example is NIL. There is no doubt that most administrators, the NCAA, did not want athletes to be paid. You do not connect with them. Everything from you'll be considered an employee, we're going to have to pay workers' comp, it's an amateur game, all of that. But now look how the tide has turned. Interest conversion. It's because many of these colleges realize they can make money off of these contracts that athletes sign. They can control the branding, the marketing partners. And so if you agree with me, great. And if you don't agree with me, great. Tune in October 15th, 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about it. Interest conversions. Centering the voices of the marginalized, critical race theory, and sport.
That's you got to make sure you post that so we can repost it and get everybody to know about it, Dr. Stroman. This is good stuff here.
I appreciate it. Continue to support those men who paid their dues, who gave back to these universities and sacrificed in so many ways. And remember, they weren't being paid in college, right? It was later on in their careers when they went to the pros. But I would love to see more of these young men, now older men, get a shot to work for their franchises and their programs.
Outstanding, Dr. Stroman. As always, it's great having you on.
That was good.
Have a great day. Great
Dr.
weekend.
Dr. Stroman, I had one more thing I wanted to say. You know, last week we were talking about the WNBA and people watching the games. And the big game last night, Connecticut and Chicago, there was a lot of people there. And Reverend Jesse Jackson was there, Scottie Pippen, and Chance the Rapper. I was thinking about what the conversation is. That's what we need to see, more people watching those games. So I wanted to highlight
Absolutely.
That.
And I want to recognize the game last night with Phoenix Mercury and being at home. And just about every Phoenix Suns player was there.
Yeah,
and Chris Paul paid, bought 500 tickets to make sure the more people had the opportunity. So a big shout out to our Demon Deacon, Chris Paul, ACC. Yeah. Thank you for the support of women's basketball.
That's outstanding.
Good stuff.
That's outstanding.
Keep it going, Sports Shop. You all are the
appreciate
best.
Appreciate it, Dr. Stroman.
So are you. Take care.
Thank you.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Man, let me tell you. Listen, I love this segment. I love always being able to come and talk about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. And so today is really special because one of our own is doing extraordinary things. So I get to talk to Earl Reese today. Earl, so I want to talk to you about something that you're doing, that you're championing Real Men mm-hmm. Wear Pink campaign. So I kind of want you first to tell us, you know, what is this campaign? What does it mean, Real Men Wear Pink? Is it okay to wear pink and why?
I got pink on now. It's definitely okay to wear pink. Real Men Wear Pink is equals a men fighting breast cancer. Breast cancer affects everyone, women and men, believe it or not. That's mm-hmm. why they recruited me and other guys in the community that is determined to raise awareness and money to support the American Cancer Society mission and save more lives than even ever before with breast cancer. Every dollar raised helps the American Cancer Society save lives from breast cancer through early detection and prevention, innovative breast cancer research and patient support. And that's why, thanks to the Real Men Wear Pink supporters, we are able to make a huge impact on this mission to end breast cancer. That's what it's all about.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I know this month of breast cancer awareness is always very dear to my heart. My mom had cancer back in 2013, and I love being able to say had because she's still here. She's a survivor.
Yes.
And it was October, the month that we found out and that she had her surgery. And so this is very dear to me. But I want you to tell us, you know, why this is so important to you. What is your why?
Well, my why is very similar to yours. Growing up at age 14 and being raised by someone, my mom, that endured so much to combat this disease, seeing her when I was like 14 years old, just watching her go through this and witnessing the courage that she had to continue to stay positive and work as a teacher. It's a true testament to her and all other survivors, including other loved ones that have battled this dreadful disease, cancer in general, with, you know, affected my mom, of course, my father, my daughter, my friend Catherine Atmosphere, a bunch of people. So this is something that's extremely important to me.
Right. And you, that list goes on and on, because statistics is 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. It's, you just never know. Well, tell us about your fundraising goal and where you are now with it.
Well, it's really interesting. I've only been doing it for 4 days, 4 or 5 days, I think I launched it. And what's interesting, our minimum they asked us to do as participants or candidates is to raise $2,500. Right. In the 30 day, I was at almost $2,200 already. So what I did was I increased my goals from 25 to 5,000, and hopefully my friends and family and people that are interested, they can help me out by going to Real Men Wear Pink / Triangle. You can search my name, Errol Reese, and you can help the fundraising effort by clicking on my page and helping me in my particular fundraising effort. So
that's
I'm
awesome,
excited
awesome.
About it. Yeah.
Great job. Yeah. You're doing good. This is good stuff right here, and it matters.
But yeah,
it really matters.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference.
I know. And I know K-Mac had reached out to me and said it's something that we should really push really, really hard this year, and that's what we're doing. And thank you for your support, and Mike and everybody else, everybody who's actually donated thus far. Tell somebody, it's very, very important. So thank you, Pam, for bringing this to our attention as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Good work.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.